Welcome back to the Hughes Office Equipment Intermission Report. It's time for tonight's Unified Bank Profile. And last time we were here in Cincinnati, we talked to former Nailer and Cyclone coach Jason Payne. Well, now we're going to take it upstairs to the Herb Electric broadcast booth where we talk with the voice of the Cyclones, Andrew Mossbrooks. And Moss, we are here. This is the fourth time in my career that we have played Throwback Night at Heritage Bank Center. Always a big event here in downtown Cincinnati. What are we looking at tonight? Are we going to hit five digits?
Yeah, I think five digits is guaranteed. The number that was just thrown around in the office is 12,000 plus. So that would be, I'll check the record book for you. We have it in our notes today. I believe if it happens, if the number starts with a 1-2, it's going to either be the second or third biggest crowd in the history of the franchise.
Well, I was here for 14 back in 2018, so that was the loudest and biggest crowd that I've seen. What do you guys do to get that much of a crowd in this place?
I think you just really try to, I mean, obviously the marketing, and it starts with a grassroots campaign in the summer. We did something this year where we tried to get our partners, and obviously, you know, you mentioning a bevy of them throughout, you know, the broadcast, whether it's naming your booth or naming the intermission report. We kind of do the same thing, but we asked some of our partners in the market to, you know, hey, we understand there's other things going on. We understand we have, you know, the Bengals, the Reds, FC Cincinnati. But is there one or two games that you can really hammer home? Like, if you're not going to, and this is just the reality of being a minor league team in a major league city, if you're not going to talk about us all year, is there a couple days you can? And a lot of them allocated to this, January 7th for Throwback Night. So that is where it's helped. I've been doing my best to kind of hit the ground running and getting media interviews. And another cool thing is the story behind it, Deej, which Tim Fritz, who is a sergeant for Cincinnati Police Department, is going to be on hand here today. He'll take a photo with whoever scores the Teddy Bear Toss goal, assuming we do get a goal, because that does not always happen. Those teddy bears, stuffed animals, whatever you see thrown on the ice, they're going to be handed off to Sergeant Fritz, donated to Cincinnati Police Department. And the way that that is used is anytime that police respond to a call, whether it be, unfortunately a house burning down or, a domestic dispute and a child is on site, that police officer has some of those stuffed animals in their police car to give to the child. And it, from a community essence, builds a really positive relationship, which is so important in today's world to have with law enforcement and a child at a young age.
Well, like you said, there is always the chance that it doesn't happen, and I'm sure Nailers Nation would love to see Bailey Birkin maybe rain on that parade a little bit. But we're looking at a Cincinnati Cyclones team here who last year went from being an on-the-bubble team and barely getting in, but at the same time taking the Western Conference champion Walleye all the way to Game 7, and now this year taking a huge step up to pretty much, at least through the first almost half of the season, being a almost lock for a top seed home ice in the top first round of the playoffs. What are you seeing really change things around a little bit and get that big increase?
Well, I think the two biggest things are Jason Payne as the head coach is getting a second year under his belt. And him and I talked a little during the offseason, obviously a lot more once we get going in October, just about all the lessons that you can learn. And this is a humble guy. This is an individual who, you know, will be the first to point out his own weaknesses. And so he identified some of those things. And I think the second thing, and I say second, this is probably one, and what I just said about Jason is two. But, you know, when we came into last year, Coach Payne was named the head coach of the Cyclones, I believe at the end of August, beginning of September. So at that point, Matt Thomas, who was the head coach for the prior couple of seasons, had already assembled a roster composed of his pieces. This is no slight on Matt. Tito's a great guy from the, you know, few interactions I've had. But there's something to be said about getting to recruit your team. And Jason didn't get to do that last year. He was given a lot of pieces that had relationships with Matt, and Jason was new to these people, didn't know them as well. And we obviously saw through the pandemic, injuries, call-ups, a cast of different players, over 50 to be exact, come through the doors and wear a Cyclones jersey last season. This year, that filtration has stopped quite a bit. There's barely any new faces, which is great. It helps build camaraderie from the guys returning from last year. But he got a chance to recruit his own team and bring in guys like Arvin Atwal, Jalen Smirik on defense. Those are former all-stars in this league. Matt Barry. I mean, talk about Toledo and how we played them. That guy was a thorn in our you-know-what last season, and now he's on this side. And, of course, you know, the captain, Justin Vive, leading the way. A second year of Zach Andrusiak, a first full year of Zach Andrusiak. I mean, this team, really, as you know, through the first four games we've seen you now, from enemy lines, you can see it too. There's not a whole lot of weaknesses.
Yeah, you look at the fact that Cincinnati's able to bring a lot of players back, like you mentioned, the Vives, the Caparussos, the Andrusiaks, but I feel like one of the big differences from one year to the next is who some of the new pieces are. You've already touched on a couple of them. Atwal we knew before, so we're going to say he doesn't count because he's been a Cyclone before, but you mentioned Smarik, Berry. Who else comes into that list of new guys in Cincy uniforms who have really caught your eye?
Yeah, I think Lee Lapid is another really good one up front, and that kind of is a tandem there with Phil Aganov. Those two are acting as centers tonight on the second and third lines for Cincy. But, you know, those guys are really strong penalty killers. You know, we lost Gino Estevez to Wichita and then you guys, and that was kind of his role for us. So Aganov and Lapid have stepped in there. They've been contributing offensively as well. You know, you look at some of the, you know, and another rookie who's been hurt for a little bit, Dakota Betts. I really like his game. I just like the toughness of the team. I think, you know, you talk about the new pieces. I mean, we touched on Barry Smarik. Atwal we'll put an asterisk next to. But in my eyes, this isn't a super cosmetic difference from a year ago. It's just those couple different pieces have gelled so well. And, you know, I'll admit I'm not necessarily looking at a roster in front of me. But, you know, yeah, I mean, still up and down the lineup. I think, like, okay, Josh Burnside's a guy who sticks out to me. Like, this is a guy who was here last season. We acquired him midway through the year, right around this time, actually, January of 2022. And he's gone from being, admittedly, a sixth, maybe seventh D who's not always in the lineup to our best shutdown defenseman. Your best guys are going to see number three on the ice, and he does such a good job in the corners and winning puck battles. So I think it's the new guys. The influx of them have been great. The veterans have stepped up. And then some of the guys last year that were trying to create a name for themselves have really become established here.
You ready for one of my favorite parts of this interview?
I don't know if I'm ready, but you tell me.
All right, we're going to flip things around a little bit because I know you can talk about the Cincinnati Cyclones, but one of the things I really enjoy doing is picking the opposing team's brain about what you've seen with us so far, as this will be the fifth time that you get a chance to see the Nailers. You've had 3 one-goal games against us the last three times that you've seen us. So what's sticking out at you as strengths for Wheeling, and what's sticking out at you as weaknesses for Wheeling as an opposing team?
Well, you know, I was thinking about this earlier, so I have no idea, and this is really peeling back the fourth wall, so I hope I don't get in trouble for this one, but you know, I have no idea what Cedric DeRusso's weekly salary is, but the guy probably needs a raise. He's been unbelievable for you guys, and in my opinion, like, he's just in the right place at the right time. This is a guy who has great numbers in junior that's trying to see them at the pro game, and, you know, we saw him, I think, in one game. I think he actually scored against us in Trois-Rivières last April, but he has really found a home for you. Yes, you have your Maniscalcos of the world. This Justin Adamo cat's really good. I like Brooklyn Kalmakov. I think he's a good skater. I'd like to see a little bit more from a fellow rookie in Samuel Tremblay, because I think the skills are there. He just needs to put it all together. And Deej, I mean, we talk off air. I'm very honest on air about our team as well. I will say when they are not doing things good. So I think, you know, when you look at strengths, those are the guys that jump out to me for Wheeling. When you look at weaknesses, just not, you know, not able to get it done in the clutch situations. You know, three of our games ended that way, right? An overtime win for the Cyclones that they were down by 2 goals with 6 minutes left in Wheeling. Like, I thought we were done at that point. You guys let 2 goals in 2 minutes. One really bad bounce here late in the third period of a 3-2 game on December 7th. Another goal scored with less than 7 minutes left to break a 2-2 tie on December 9th. The battle is there for the Nailers. And I think what's funny is, again, I don't want to get in trouble with you Nailers fans, who are awesome, by the way. But, you know, you're missing a guy like Patrick Watling this year. I think the team overall at times is playing better and playing with more of a complete team effort. You guys are staying out of the box a heck of a lot more, which is a big help for you. But I just, yeah, man, I think if there's one negative point that I'm unfortunately going to beat to death on our broadcast, it's the idea of, if this game gets tied, do the Nailers have a player that can come up in a clutch situation? And I have seen it in other games, like Toledo, where, what was it, December 23rd, they go up, and maybe it's Mitch Hurd scoring with under 3 minutes left, and I think Adamo scored like 10 seconds later, and you pull it out in OT. We just haven't seen it come against the Cyclones.
Other question about Wheeling. You are the one person that we see walk into West Banco Arena, and as soon as those concession stands open, man, it is a beeline from the booth downstairs. What is your favorite West Banco Arena concessions item? And I know that you have some new stuff to try when you're there next week.
Yeah, I really wish we had like six or seven more away games in West Banco. I will say this, and I will say it on our broadcast. West Banco Arena has the best concessions food of any minor league team I've ever been to. It's so good, or minor league hockey team at least. Last time, Phil Lagunov, I was just talking about him a couple minutes ago on here. He was a scratch for us. He helped me out in a big way. I was dying of hunger because we played you guys. It was the 5-4 OT win for us. And I don't think I did get to eat before the game, which, as you know, I'm going to be in a bad mood if that doesn't happen. I can't get my loaded fries. But Phil Lagunov came up in the third period and handed me a chicken quesadilla. And I was like, this is so, so good. And I told him and Cody Caron, who was also scratched, I was like, guys, get the quesadilla. So that's my go-to. Now, I say that, and on a Friday night while I'm enjoying my rare day off, I get a picture from you, and at the top of a menu at a new concourse spot, I see Philly cheesesteak. So I believe it's January 14th. I'm going to West Banco. I'm going to come hungry. Like, I will purposefully starve myself throughout the day so I can have the Philly cheesesteak. I really, really want to get back to the bacon cheese fries, and I'm doubtful on the quesadilla just because I don't know how much my stomach can take at that point. But maybe, because you guys keep it open until right around the start of the third period. So maybe I'll try and have Isaac cover for me for the first couple minutes of the third.
January 14th is correct. That is our Wizards and Wands game. So are you a Potter guy? Do you know your house?
I was when I was a kid. My mom took me, her and I went to the first five movies, because I think the fifth one was Order of the Phoenix, and then after that, we didn't see the next one. So I don't know why she gave up late, but I wasn't old enough to drive, so it's on her, not me. But yeah, I don't know. I was always the fan of, I think it was Malfoy, who was with Slytherin when I was a kid. And, you know, he was always the bad guy, the slick back blonde hair. I loved that stuff. I love the villains in movies and pro wrestling and whatever. So, and heck, I've talked to you about this, talking about villains. Like, obviously, I want the Cyclones to win, but I hope it's a really good game. I don't want to see a 7-0 win. I want to see a good hockey game.
Well, very good, Moss. I always appreciate a few minutes of your time, more than a few minutes today. Heck, this is perfect for one of my favorites, a two-parter here at Heritage Bank Center on our Hughes Office Equipment intermission coverage. So thank you so much, dude, and it'll be a fun couple of weeks here, back-to-back great crowds to play with.
Yeah, I love talking to you, Deej. Thanks for the time.
Andrew Moss books our Unified Bank profile tonight. More coming up after this on the Nailers Broadcast Network, presented by Main Street Bank.